You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Friends, I thank you for joining me here today. Thanks for spending 15 minutes of your Monday to join me to see where we're going to end up here today. Well, I tell you, I really enjoyed that last program that aired on the radio. We're going through a great series at Island Community Church, and this is the first time I've ever preached through Romans in my brief career as a full-time pastor. That's maybe 7 years. I've never taken the time to preach verse by verse through Romans, and it's been an eye-opening, life-changing experience for me. Maybe you say, well, how can that be? Well, because the Word of God is life-changing. No matter who you are, no matter how many times you've read something, the Word of God is life-changing every time you read it. The Bible says the Word of God is living, or quick, living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The book, the Word of God, is alive. The Lord Jesus said, John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. He also says man doesn't live by just bread or food, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is how, after all these years, I've studied and made the Word of God my life. I can get up and preach and it'd be life-changing for me as I study. It's life-changing for me on Monday through Sunday morning, and then I get up and preach it, share it with everyone else. That's how I guess I can listen. And many other preachers I know as well can do the same thing. They can hear themselves on the radio or hear themselves preach and a tear come into their eye and they get on their knees and thank Almighty God because they realize that what they just heard didn't come from them. It came from the Holy Spirit who moves us and leads us and guides us into what to preach and to share with the people of God. Now you're going to hear the next sermon series in this book through Romans. At church, we're in chapter 11. More on that as the week unfolds. Here today, chapter 7, and who will deliver me? This is part one now of this message that'll air for 4 days.
Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Now we're moving on in this great book of Romans here this morning. Notice so far, there's been absolutely, or basically, there's been no mention of the Holy Spirit so far. That is about to change really soon, next week. I want you to see that when you struggle with sin, that you are in good company. You're not the only one. Now today, we're going to see the Apostle Paul's struggle with sin and struggles as a Christian. Now, let me explain something here before we move on. Unbelievers do not struggle with sin. Did you know that? Unbelievers do not struggle with sin. Believers struggle with sin. Because as an unbeliever, you didn't give a rip about sin. Now you're a believer. Now you have a conscience. You're the one that struggles with sin. Not an unbeliever. Their conscience was dead or dormant. I prefer dead Since Paul says, you he made alive who were dead in transgressions and sins. Unbeliever doesn't struggle with that, but you do. Why? Because you, friend, now have a living, quickened conscience that's in direct contact with Almighty God. That is why you struggle with sin. Whereas before, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, you are alive to God with a sensitive conscience. A conscience, by the way, that keeps you in check and won't let you get away with anything. Amen? But this is why you struggle now when you didn't struggle before. This is why this applies to you and not unbelievers. Unbelievers haven't been regenerated yet, and there's no struggle. It's all sin. They're dead in sin. There's no struggle. By the way, this is good proof of your salvation, too. The fact that you struggle with sin is proof of your salvation. It's just like those who say, you know, oh, I'm worried that I've committed the unforgivable sin. Well, the fact that you're worried about it is proof that you haven't committed it. Because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. He doesn't leave you because you jaywalk or go 38 and 35. He doesn't leave you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's not based on your sin. It's based on his faithfulness. He saved you on your worst day. He's not going to leave you now. Simple fact that you're concerned about it is proof that you haven't done it. You can't do that today anyway, because the Lord Jesus isn't walking this earth here today. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 7. I wanted to start in the middle of verse 7 of chapter 7, but let me start it from the beginning. For the most part, I'm in the New King James this morning because this chapter is difficult to understand. This is, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Now, this is where I wanted to start here. It says, on the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. Right? Don't do that. You wouldn't have known sin except if the law said, don't do that. Otherwise, you'd be fine. You wouldn't know anything different. I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness or lust. Same Greek word means covet or lust. It's the same thing. That's why translators have a hard time knowing which one to put there. I would not have known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet. In other words, the law says, don't do that or else. Now you got a problem. You're doing fine until the law says, don't do that or else. Now you've got a problem. Now he had a problem. I would not have known sin except through the law. I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, don't do that, or you should not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. You see, don't do that. It produced in me all manner of evil desire. All these laws and rules now, this sword of Damocles hanging over your head that says, don't do this or else. That's what the law is. That's why he called it a ministry of death, of condemnation. It condemns you. It was designed to condemn you. Why would you want to live under it? The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Paul said in chapter 6, you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. Why would you want this hammer hanging over you? All right, verse 8 again. Sin, take an opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. And I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, don't do that, sin revived. All right, yes, I will. I'll do it if I choose. I can have a whole conversation with myself, right? Over here, don't do that. Over here, you bet your sweet bippy I'm going to do it, and you're going to like it. And there's a fight going on now. Don't do it. I'm going to do it. Don't do it. I'm going to do it. God help me. What am I going to do? You're fine until the hammer comes out and says, speed limit, 55 miles an hour. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment. Look at this. You'd swear that sin was alive or that it was a person. Taking occasion. Look at that. Verse 8, it says, taking opportunity. This is no ordinary noun. This has got legs. Taking opportunity. This thing is living and breathing. It's moving. Verse 8, it's taking opportunity. Verse 11, it's taking occasion. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, it deceived me. And by it, it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. Right? Why is it good? Because it tells you don't do these things, not sin. Be a good person. Honor God. Keep the Ten Commandments. Be a good person. Do not sin. The law is holy and the commandment is holy, just and good, because they drive me to my knees and cause me to cry out to God for a deliverer as well. I want you to see, according to Paul, sin deceived him. And I want you to see, according to Pastor Paul, let me tell you that sin will deceive you every time. I like this quote from Ravi Zacharias. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you will want to pay. Indeed, sin is alive. God told Cain way back in Genesis, sin is crouching at your door. And its desire is for you, you, all of you. Sin's desire is for you. It's like a Frankenstein monster hiding behind a wall or under your bed with the light off. Ever sleep with the light on after watching Frankenstein back when you were 9? Or the wolf man. Like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, my mother would come in, the light's on. She goes, oh boy, Boris Karloff again, huh? Looking under that bed. That's what sin is. It's creep. And look at what God said. He said it's crouching at your door.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio.